7. Maximilian stood to attention while the general was speaking. It was late, but the general had awoken him with secret orders. The general told him he must get out of bed, get dressed, and go down to the battlefield, where the fate of the empire was to be decided. After the emperor, the general was the most important military leader in the land, and Maximilian always wanted to impress him with his obedience, resourcefulness, and courage. The general was the man Maximilian would like to be, would have liked to have been. When the orders were finished and understood, Maximilian saluted and put the general into his top pocket. This was a serious business. These were times of grave danger. Only Maximilian stood between civilization and anarchy, and he was determined to do his best or die. The palace was quiet at this time of night. Quieter in the days, too, now that Oswald's theatre friends had gone. Maximilian missed them a little. There had been one dancer who'd been sweet on him and liked to join in with his battles, making suggestions and asking questions, even though Nurse disapproved of her. Nurse disapproved of a lot of things. In his slippers, Maximilian was almost silent as he proceeded through the corridors and down the stairs. His breath was short, and he was getting a stitch, but the general would want him to continue. He would not let the general down, no matter what. He thought he saw robed figures in the shadows of one passageway, but ignored them. Nothing could keep him from the fray now he was needed. The battle room was not locked. There were several armies on the table: goblins, dwarves, elves, and men. And in the centre was a castle, the objective. The imperial standard was flying from the great tower of the castle. The flag was tattered, but waved proud. The armies were clashing already. The room was filled with the tiny sounds of their weapons clanging together, their cannon popping. When they were hit, the soldiers screamed like shrilling insects. The tabletop battlefield was swarming with life. Miniature swords scraped paint from lead faces. The dead were melted in grey pools. Puffs of smoke rose. Battle trumpets sounded like echoes in Maximilian's head. The general had ordered him to hold the castle for the emperor. He needed a chair to step on before he could reach the table. He put his foot down on the battlefield, crushing a bridge to Stickwood, pushing a platoon of wood elf war dancers into the painted stream. He pulled himself up and stood like a giant on the table. He had to duck to avoid a chandelier as he stepped into the castle. The walls barely came to his ankles, but he was able to stand in the courtyard. The defenders of the castle cheered to have such a champion. Moonlight came in through the tall, thin windows. The night battle swept across the table, backwards and forwards. The armies had lost all direction and were turning upon themselves. Sometimes all four forces appeared to combine to launch a new onslaught on Maximilian's castle. Mostly, every single soldier seemed at war with every other. He detected the claws of chaos in this business. The felt of the hill was torn as charges fell back from the castle walls, and dark wood showed through the scratches. The general kept up Maximilian's morale as a wave of goblins clambered up the hill and breached the walls. Dwarf engineers pushed a war tower forwards. Cannonballs stung his shins. Still, he held the fort, at attention, saluting. The castle was in ruins now, and the armies were attacking him, trying to bring him down. The defence forces were sought out and slaughtered. Maximilian stood alone against the enemies. The wounds inflicted on his feet and ankles were flea bites. Bretonian soldiers poured fire over his slippers, but he stamped it out, and the fires spread back to their ranks. He laughed. The sons of Bretonia at war always were noted more for viciousness than valour. Then the battle wizards came forward and threw their worst spells at him. Frightful fiends swirled about his legs like fish, and he swatted them away with his hands. A three-headed creature with eyes and a maw in its belly flew for Maximilian's throat, and he caught it. It came apart like cobweb in his hand, and he wiped it away on his jacket. spears stuck to his calves, and he felt dizzy to be at such a height above the ground. Goblins were scaling his trousers, hacking through his clothes and sinking hooks into flesh and bone. There were more fires. A ballista and several mortars were deployed. There were explosions all around him. His right knee went, and he was pulled down. Small roars of triumph went up, and his back was riddled with a million tiny shots. Knives, small as headlice, sawed at him. Spears like needles jabbed. He fell across the battlefield, crushing the remains of the castle, flattening the hill, murdering hundreds beneath him. He rolled onto his back, and the armies reached his face. They set off charges in his eyes, and he was blind. Berserkers set fire to his hair. Warrior wizards opened up channels to his brain. Pikemen attacked his neck. Fresh conjured demons burrowed beneath his skin, excreting their poisonous filth. The general told him he was doing well, and that he must keep up the fight. In the dark, the Emperor Luitpold and all his court waited for him. Maximilian knew he would soon be permitted to leave the field of battle, to take his well-earned rest. There were medals and honours and eggs for him. He would receive his just rewards. The armies moved over him, laying waste to whatever they found. They captured the general and executed him. To the end, the man was a hero. His lead head rolled across Maximilian's chest and bounced lifeless onto the table. Tired and relieved, Maximilian sank into the darkness. The next morning, his nurse found him, lying dead among his beloved toy soldiers. Physicians were called for, but it was too late. The old elector's heart had finally given out. It was said that at least his death was sudden and easeful. The sad news was delivered to the new elector with his breakfast. Oswald von Königswald wept, but he was not surprised.